I'd like to look this afternoon at healing in relation to a covenant with God. Now, the word covenant is mentioned 282 times in the Old Testament, 33 times in the New Testament. I thought on the basis of that, it's probably worth examining. So I looked up the definition. The conditional promises made to humanity by God as revealed in Scripture. And the secondary definition, the agreement between God and the ancient Israelites in which God promised to protect them if they kept his law and were faithful to him. So a covenant has rights, privileges and responsibilities. Now, Adam walked with God in a pureness of relationship. There was really no need for a covenant there with Adam. But sin came in, and the degradation of mankind followed. Now, we follow through, and God made a covenant with Noah. And God put a sign of that covenant in the heavens, the rainbow. And the purpose of that rainbow is for a reminder to God that he would not destroy the earth again by flood. We always think of it as promise to Noah. But when we read the scriptures, we find that it is actually a reminder to God himself. We follow on to Abraham. And God gave a covenant, made a covenant with Abraham. And that was a blood covenant. That was one that was not to be taken lightly at all. And that was reinforced again with Moses. The Passover, where the lamb was taken and its blood was shed. And then we follow through, we find that we have a lot of laws, but also a lot of responsibilities. One thing that comes out in the book of Exodus: if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Follow through Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the cursings. Now, we're probably all familiar with that passage. If not, read it. It's exciting information. But we see that there's blessings there and there's cursings. If the covenant is not kept, there are cursings. This is the justice of God. And I'm forming the view here that God is dealing with a covenant people. When he gave the Ten Commandments, as Paul has eloquently reminded us, they were given to a people who were already saved as a way of life. They were given to God's covenant people as a way of living. Now, right through the time spent in the wilderness, God maintained his people. He fed them every day, manna. He provided water. Now, this would be a logistical nightmare to feed that many people for 40 years and provide water for them for 40 years, wandering in a wilderness area. But God did it. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God was looking after his covenant people What did they do? They rebelled. And there's one instance where God sent serpents amongst them to bring them back to him. But the serpents bit them and they died. And Moses called out to God. And God said, take a brazen image of a serpent and hold it up, and whoever is bitten and looks toward it will be healed. A covenant God dealing with a covenant people. Come to Psalm 103. And I'm just picking out some scriptures here, just touching the surface of this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 107. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Isaiah 53, that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is all positive stuff, but this is God dealing with a covenant people. Now Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. But that covenant also has blessings or rights and responsibilities. And we can't just take the blessings and ignore the responsibilities. Jesus promises healing. James 5, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. We go on. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now, I looked up the definition of prosper. And the usage here is an archaic usage, which means to make successful or fortunate. It's got nothing to do with money. Successful or fortunate. It's to have a quality of life as your soul prospers. Now, I've looked at healing, or touched on healing, inside a covenant relationship with God. It's not the object, it's just part of the package. He'll say, but there are other healings of people that were not inside a covenant relationship with God. Look at Naaman. Yes, look at Naaman. He was outside of a covenant relationship with God. I think he was a Syrian, wasn't he? Yes. But he came to be healed in Israel. And the result was that he wanted to go back and worship God in his own country. Now, as I read the word, most of the miraculous healings that occur in the word of God were to people outside of a covenant relationship with God. Or, as in the New Testament, with the man at the gate of the temple, in the book of Acts, in a relationship with God under an old covenant, but being healed so that he could be brought into a new covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. So I look for healing as just part of the course. When I had my heart attack in 2007, I was in hospital and I asked for anointing with oil for healing. And that was at 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't worry any more about it because I just went back to sleep, because my priority was building my relationship with God. And my relationship with God was my priority. That had to come first. The healing was a bit of a surprise, actually, because I wasn't looking for it. I had asked for anointing with oil in obedience to the word of God. And God chose to heal me physically. And I praise him for that. And it was quite a healing, in that 2 days later I was discharged with no restrictions at all. And the doctor came to see me afterwards and he just had this grin from ear to ear. He knew what had happened, but how could he explain it to his colleagues? So that was healing in the sense of a covenant relationship with God. My relationship was the important thing, not the healing. I was quite prepared that if God was to take me home, okay, so what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I had assurance of where I was going because I had that definite relationship. Now, Christians today tend to have muddied the waters a little bit. Often we don't know if we're in a relationship with God or not, because we've listened to an easy gospel that just says, oh, come to Jesus and he'll make everything right. And all that we hear is about the blessings. Hey, we have to come to God in acknowledgement of our sin. And the word for sin is hamartia, which comes from archery and literally means falling short of the target. An arrow falling short of the target, missing the target. We have to come to God in acknowledgement of that fact in our lives and accept that Jesus Christ is the only provision that God has made to draw us into a relationship with him and to bring us from outside of a covenant relationship into a covenant relationship. That can only occur through Jesus Christ. But we've been guilty, I know I have in the past, of saying, well, you know, just come and trust God, without saying anything about the need for repentance. But we need to repent. We need to have an awareness of sin in our lives, and we need to confess that sin to God. Not just once, but continually. That's why I had Paul lead us in a general confession, because it's essential. We keep short accounts with God. I've made it a policy for many years now. Any time I come to God in prayer, I come with confession of my sin and acknowledgement of his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I want to keep that relationship very close, because only in that close relationship can I experience the blessings and the benefits that God has for me as I fulfill his purposes. Not mine, but his purposes in life. Now, how do we enter into the covenant? By confessing our sin before God and coming to him in belief that he will honour his promises. And we can look to see healings of people outside the covenant, but we look to see that for the purpose of bringing them into a relationship with God, of having a miraculous experience to bring them into a relationship with God. Not just for the sake of the experience, but for the sake of growing in Christ on an individual and daily basis. A couple of experiences along the way that I'll share with you. Many years ago, I went to a service call. I was doing TV service. And I did a call out to an elderly couple. And the wife called me aside and said, "Steve, my husband, Arthur, has just been diagnosed with stomach cancer." And I said to her, "Would you like me to pray for healing?" She said, "Yes, please." So I just came before God first to seek his counsel as to how to pray. And God spoke to me and he said, "I'm not going to heal him, but he'll be free of pain." So I said to Marjorie, "God's not going to heal him of his cancer, but he will be free of pain." And from that day until the day he went home to be with Christ 3 months later, he had no pain except for the last 10 minutes of his life. Now that's a healing in itself. I had another instance where I was asked to go and pray for a woman in an Anglican church. She was the Sunday school superintendent, very godly woman, and she was dying of cancer. And the church had been praying, and they just had no breakthroughs at all. And the rector of the church asked me if I'd come and just meet this woman and pray with her. I said, "Sure." I went down and I met her, and I said, "Look, Joan, I'm just going to go and walk around the house and spend some time with God in prayer." So I went out and I just walked around the house in prayer. I think I went about 4 times around the house. And then God spoke to me. And I went in and I said, "Joan, what happened between you and your father when you were 7 years of age?" Because God gave me a word of knowledge. And her mouth was dropped. She said, "I've never told a living soul about it." I said, "Well, God just told me." And the result is, she forgave her father beyond the grave. And as she did that, I saw in the spirit the cancer just shrivel up. I saw it just shrivel up. Now, she lived for another 6 months. During that time, her husband came to know the Lord. Her relationship with her mother was restored because that had been broken for years. And her children came to know the Lord. And she eventually went home to be with the Lord. And the autopsy showed that the cancer was already dead and it was the chemo that killed her. But there was a healing. That was a very important healing. And that was a healing within God's covenant. So just a couple of things for you to think on. And I think I'll leave it at that, because there's been a lot there for us to chew over. But I think we've touched on some deep stuff and some important stuff.